appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Our desire is to honor the Lord, and as Brother Kelly sang about, to be an instrument in His hands. I recognize that this work is God's work. It's not mine, it's not yours, but it's His. And it's afternoon service, so I will say this. I'm one of those individuals, one of those preachers that really doesn't get his feelings hurt. So if you're feeling sleepy, feel free to get up and walk around. It's not going to distract me. It's not going to bother me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Because if you fall asleep, you're going to have to go and listen to this again. And we want you to be able to get a hold of what the Lord has for us this afternoon. I want to start with a question. How much do you think you're worth? And when I say that, I'm talking in terms of work. If I had a business and wanted to employ you and approached you about it, and maybe I was kind enough to even let you live where you currently live, not asking you to uproot or go anywhere or do anything crazy like that, so you got all those conveniences and comforts that you're used to. And when we start to negotiate price, you ever thought about what your time's worth? Many of us here have jobs that we work, and we kind of already have an idea of what we're worth because we're already doing it. Someone has placed a dollar value on it, and we've agreed, and we continue to do so. And I was just thinking, there are just under 5,000 households in Neosho. I looked it up today. Just under 5,000. And let's suppose for just a moment, we're dreaming a little bit, that I had ridiculously large pockets. I know we're dreaming. And I said that there's $1 million sitting in one of those households, and they're just waiting for you to show up and ask for it. How many of you, and I want you to raise your hand. I'm a teacher, so we're going to be a little interactive here. Okay? And I want you to physically raise your hand. It'll help keep you awake, too. How many of you would be willing, and it doesn't mean you're greedy, but it'd be willing to work to go and knock on all those doors, 5,000 of them, for $1 million cash? It's a gift, so you're not even going to have to pay taxes because they're giving it as a gift. I'm going to do it this way. Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you wouldn't. There we go. We get rid of all the lazy people, right? Too embarrassed to raise their hand. Every single person in here. You know, if you average one every 20 minutes, it'll take you just under half time working to finish it. It's 1,667 hours, if you average 3 an hour, that you could get to every house. Now, some of you are younger, and my guess is you'd be moving a little bit faster than that. You'd knock on the door. Is it here? Okay, if not, then you're on to the next one. Right? And it's just how it is. Now, suppose I wanted to negotiate with you a little bit. How many of you would still do it if it were 500,000? Okay, I see a few folks. What about 100,000? Okay, I like it. 50. How about 10 grand? I still see a few. I mean, it's $1 million. Now, well, it's 10. It's still 10 is something. We can do something with that, right? And I do this with students all the time. I start asking them, well, if I owed you this much, would you go through some effort to get it? So I tell them sometimes, if I owed you $1,000, would you have figured out how to get a hold of me to get that money? And they say, yeah. And so I work with them. I work it down because I want to find out what is the real value to them. Okay, so I'm a teacher, so I just set you all up, just so you know. Because what we're going to talk about this afternoon is something that has been a burden on my heart for decades. And I sometimes allude to it, but I don't always get to just get right down to the heart of the matter, the heart of the issue. And I feel like the Lord has allowed me to do that. I've shared a little bit of this in Guthrie, and the Lord still has this burden here, and I desire to share it with you. And my question is, if you were to go around to all those households and knock and get that reward, $1 million is pretty nice. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like to be in heaven? I know some of you have heard me say, and I never get tired of saying, I'm going to remind you again, when you get to heaven, you are going to be grossly overpaid for whatever it is that you did down here. Grossly overpaid. And so when I think about going and knocking door to door for $1 million, we'd do it some even for 10 grand. What if I told you that in those 5,000 households, there's at least one soul that is wondering about the things of God and is just waiting for someone to show up to cause them to have an understanding of who God is and what God has offered for them? How much time and effort would you spend? What about where you live? Some of you live in bigger communities. There's more than 5,000 households. It got serious, didn't it? It's very serious business. We've heard lots of meetings, lots of messages this meeting about being courageous, being all in, and being right with the Lord. And I agree with all those things. And it's important to get teaching to understand how to live carefully. But I'm going to tell you what's going to help you live consistently careful life. And that is to get busy working for the Lord. To get busy doing our Father's business. We sang a lot of songs, a lot of testimonies. Let me be like Jesus. What was Jesus' testimony when mom couldn't find him? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. There is still a business that God has. There is still a desire that God has. There's time. He's left us here. He's given us understanding. We think about all the different things that we take in. Admittedly, I'm probably a little bit more sensitive to this because of the calling the Lord has placed upon my life, the burden that He's given me, and where I've come from. I didn't grow up this way. I didn't grow up with this level of understanding in this thing. And I know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of people just like me, millions, even in this country alone, that have no understanding, have no teaching. Sister Joyce talked about, I think it was in her testimony, that they had no, or her husband had no religious understanding, no religious training. Her husband had to call the stepbrother and say, I learned something in my old age, and I think you need to know the value of it. We live in a day and time where something needs to be done. I want to get a scripture in the 10th chapter of Matthew. I'm sorry, the 10th chapter of Luke, rather. And in this scripture, we desire for the Lord to bless. Jesus himself is speaking. He's talking to his apostles. And he's cueing them into some things that he sees that they are unaware of. We want to begin reading in the first verse of the 10th chapter of Luke. And it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I ask you this afternoon, do you believe that Jesus still passes by? Don't we really believe that? We spend all this time, energy, effort, money to come together for a meeting such as this to proclaim the gospel. We sing multiple songs at the end of a service to give folks opportunity. There's exhortations and everything else that goes on. Why? Because we believe Jesus Christ is still in the soul-saving business. And I fear that sometimes that our desire to work for the Lord, our desire to truly do what it is that the Lord wants to accomplish, gets hindered by the things that we think, by the things that we see. We look at this world, it gets darker and darker. There's so many different things that go on politically. We look at the news, you get on social media, you just talk to somebody, you look down the street, and you see so many things that are opposed to God. And if we don't allow ourselves to focus on the work of the Lord, we begin to focus on those things. And then you begin to look at and examine your conversations that you have. It's usually about frustrations with this or that policy, or this politician said that, this one said that, and that person over there is doing wrong here. And it's very easy to look at all the negativity. And then in the same breath, we can say, well, if the Lord passed by, it would make a difference. And that's true. But the question this afternoon, as we know in the 10th chapter of Romans, it says, how shall they know? How are they going to understand? Are they going to find it at Walmart? Are they going to turn on their television and it's going to tell them how to live for the Lord? Is it going to tell them what sin is and how bad it is and what the consequence is eternal? When you stop to think and just meditate for a moment, where on earth are these people going to hear this message? Are they all flocking into your congregation, in your local chapel? Is it overflowing? Are they coming to learn? No. How long are we going to sit around and wait for them to show up? So we look at this scripture. We dig a little bit deeper here. When Jesus is speaking, he says, the harvest truly is great. I could give you story after story after story of people today, 2023, it's July, it's near the end. There are still people that want to know things about the Lord. The world's wicked. It's getting darker. I'm not going to take anything away. The scriptures prophesied that. We can look and see it. We can understand it. But there are still people out there that want to be saved. There are still people out there that want to know the Lord. Just in the last month and a half, we had a Nicaraguan man. Speaks perfect English. But he showed up to service because somebody spoke a few scriptures into his life. They were working with him, went their separate ways, hadn't talked in over 6 months, and he called her back and said, the Lord has gotten a hold of my heart, and I need to go to church. I need to learn about him. Do you know a good place to go? And she said, come. There are still souls like that that want to know, that want to understand the things of God. And if I could impress one thing upon you this afternoon is the harvest truly is great. There are so much false wickedness. I can tell you right now that people are not happy in sin. And we need to figure out where they're at. We need to figure out what it is that they desire. And so Jesus said here, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I think I would agree that the laborers are few. A lot of times when you think of laborers, everybody thinks of the ministers. I hope by the help of the Lord, before you leave today, we can change that. Yes. So Jesus' instruction here was to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And that word pray in the Greek in which it's written is not a casual prayer. Have you ever wanted something real bad? And I mean like, really, really, really bad. Anybody here can think of something, and we're going to be a little interactive here. Anybody here thought of a time in their life, whether it was a companion, a job, or somebody to be healed or whatever, somebody wanted something real bad? Who's willing to volunteer? Nobody's ever wanted anything bad? We're all satisfied? Brother Damar, what is something that you've wanted really, really bad and you've prayed for?
My job.
Say that again.
My job.
Your job. Okay. When did you pray for that?
Started 2019.
Say that again?
Started in 2019.
And when did you get that job?
2021.
So 2 years. In those 2 years, how many times did you pray for that?
Every day. Multiple times.
Every single day. Multiple times a day.
Yes.
That's what this verse is talking about. To beg God for a true burden. To beg God for something to do. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. He's saying, get on your face before God, prostrate in the dust, and cry out to God. Not a, Lord, thank you for this food, and I'm happy to have it, and I just move on my way and continue with my day. I roll out of bed, and Lord, I've got health, I'm going to go to work, and I want you to be with me. I appreciate these things, thank you, and I go out the door, and I go on my way. But it's the kind of burden where you fall on your face. It's something that's on the forefront of your mind. It's on the side of your mind. It's on the back of your mind. And wherever you go, that's what you're constantly thinking about. And that's what the Lord's instruction here is in Luke chapter 10, that we would actively seek a burden from the Lord. It's not just for ministers. I'm convinced the Lord has shown me that sometimes some of the people that early on in their Christian experience, it doesn't take long before they fizzle out and fall away. And sometimes it's because they're lazy, because they don't want to get out and work for the Lord, or sometimes they don't even know how. There's a little bit something in here for us as ministers and leaders of congregations that it's telling them, pray the Lord of the harvest. We need to get down and start begging God instead of doing it all ourselves. I know when you get a burden, you get a calling sometimes, and you see things that need to be done, and you're wishing somebody else would step up. And so what do we end up doing? We end up doing like Martha. Cumbered about with many things. We burn ourselves out. We put ourselves in poor health and all these different kinds of things. And I would to God that we would start to follow the instruction of Jesus Christ, that we would fall on our face and start, God, raise up somebody to help. God, raise up those that can do some of these things, because it says to send forth laborers. Those are toilers. Those are people that are willing to work. And what we're talking about is people praying down a burden. It's one thing when you just see something like there's a little bit of work that needs to be done, then I just go and do it. It's entirely different when it's a burden. It's entirely different. When it's a burden, it won't leave you. You can't help but do it. There's a joy that comes. There's something that takes hold of you in the depths of your soul, and you don't allow excuses and inconveniences and difficulty and hardship to stop you from getting there and doing what needs to be done. Why? Because God has written it on my heart. He's given me a burning passion and desire, and a side effect, a side benefit of that. I have a purpose. My life has meaning. Too many people get saved, living for the Lord, sanctified, whatever, and they're sitting around and they think that, well, I'm going to service. I read my Bible. I'm praying. I'm being a good person. I'm careful about how I live. I'm paying attention to those things. And they wonder sometimes why they still struggle. If I could put it in athletic terms, or I'll put it in farming terms. Going to service, praying, reading your Bible is just like going to the feed store, buying all the seed, buying a rototiller, fertilizer, getting the water set up, and then just let it sit on your front yard. You think you're going to get a garden like that? You're going to get a crop like that? No, you've got to get out and turn the dirt. There's a lot of things that need to be done. There's sweat on your brow. And I think sometimes we shortchange God because we think, well, Lord, I'm going to service. I testified. I prayed. I called out a song. I sang a special. But there's a burden for the work of the Lord. And I'm telling you now, there are souls that are counting on you. There are souls that are counting on me to get on our face before God and to seek the burden to know what it is that we're to do. There's too many in sectarian Christian that just get out and do things. There's groups that are much better at it than we are. They're organized. They knock on doors and show up and bother people and all those different kinds of things. I'll say it. I know how we feel about those things. But the Lord needs to give us direction. One of the songs that was sang, I can't even remember now, but it was burning so strong in my mind. And it was talking about the voice of the Lord, and whatever the voice of the Lord says, I will do. But you know, sometimes we act like children that are interested in play and purposely get out of earshot of mom and dad. I'll obey you. I'll do whatever it is you tell me. I'm just not going to be within earshot of you, though. And that happens in this world in which we live. It's called the cares of life. It's called the things that we're interested in, the entertainments and the responsibilities and all the different things that we have. And they're good and lawful things. But we can't let them get in the way of what this is really all about. We read of the old time pioneers in Hebrews 11. It says they plainly declared that they were sojourners and pilgrims in this land. They were just passing through. They weren't too excited about the house that they lived in. They weren't too tied to the car that they drive. They weren't too tied to the vacation that they had planned. When the work of the Lord throws a monkey wrench in it, there was no problem to drop it and go and do what the Lord has. It's not to say that we can't have those kinds of things, but what we are saying is that it should be consecrated to the work of the Lord and that it should take precedence. You ever thought about Sodom and Gomorrah? I think sometimes we look in our world and we think about Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to get a scripture in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. And before you turn there, I'm just curious what you thought was the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody care to share? What was wrong with Sodom and Gomorrah? Say again?
Idleness.
They ate the bread of idleness. A lot of times we think of all the other things that they did, their immoralities and stuff like that. But we read here in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, in the 49th verse. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Pure and undefiled religion before God is what? To go to church 3 times a week? Make sure you testify, call out a song. It was a whole lot more than that. It was to think about the widow and the fatherless. Those that are helpless, those that are needy, those that stand, that usually don't even cry out for help. That's what the Lord is saying. Pray. Beg God. Get on our face. Lord, where would you have me to be? What would you have me to be doing? Too many times we get the abundance. We come to camp meetings. We go to services. And I can say this because I've been in a lot of different church groups. I had to find this. I had to search. And I can tell you that having been in those other ones, that you don't get full. There's not much that they have to offer. And I'm not here to attack them. I'm just telling you the reality of what it is. There's not much there to fill you. But when you get here, you're spiritually fed. You're challenged. You're well fed and you're well taken care of. And the Lord looks after His people. What are you doing with it? You know what happens when you eat too much food and you don't exercise? Uncle Steve used to say, you stuff, you puff. But there's something about it that when you take all that in and you get out and you work, that it has a way of keeping balance and keeping you healthy. And that's what we're interested in being spiritually healthy. I believe the Lord has a desire for His people to wake up and realize who we are, what kind of power we have at our disposal. And instead of spending our days being so careful, looking about, oh, make sure I don't mess up here or look after all these things. Things are important. But we're not to spend our days looking around and being scared and fearful and wondering, did I fail the Lord here or there? We ought to be spending the time, Lord, give me a burden. Give me work to do. The bread of idleness comes under the cloak of excuse. That person's better at it than I am. That person's more gifted. I'm not this, I can't that, and all these different kinds of things. We have biblical examples of folks trying to do that. Moses was probably the most famous, and he had objection and excuse, and the Lord wiped them all away. Now, that may have been true. The Lord didn't negate it, but He also didn't want it to hinder His work. There's a scripture that has been on my heart for some time in Psalms 106. I want to turn there and share that really quick, because I believe it's one of the things that gets in the way, that gets in the way of God's work. And I recognize the day and time which we live in, it's probably not conducive to us getting a big old tent and pulling into some town, setting it up, and turn on the lights and get there for service and expect the community to come out. That's not the day and time in which we live. Does that really mean that people aren't interested in the things of the Lord? I don't think so. But I think sometimes we allow that to be an excuse in some of the methodologies that we've done in the past. And well, those don't work anymore, therefore the people aren't interested. Wrong answer. The Lord has allowed time for a reason. There's still a soul somewhere that needs to be reached, that needs to hear the gospel. Have you asked yourself this question? When's the last time I shared the gospel with somebody? That one's not interactive. That's to consider within your own heart. What am I doing for the Lord? So we read here in Psalms 106, beginning in the 12th verse, it says, then believed they His words and sang His praise. And it's talking about what the Lord did. It's the history of Israel and how the Lord delivered them in great ways. And it's just like us. We've heard an incredible testimony Sister Joyce gave today. I'd never heard that before. It inspires me. I want to hear it again. And again, it's incredible. But then I ask myself, what's God going to do in the next year for her? You ever thought about that? I ask folks like this all the time. Has God maxed out in your life? I don't believe so. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter all the experiences that you've had and the abundance of them or the lack of them. It doesn't matter what physical ailments that you might have. All these different things that we want to point to, God is able to overcome all of that. So here we find that they were excited what the Lord did. They soon, verse 13, after singing His praises, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And I want to read, this is very important, verse 15. He says, and He gave them their requests, but it came at a cost. He sent leanness unto their soul. And I think it's important that we highlight and we understand this today, that God is still the same. That He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the things that you really importune for. And if there are things that are maybe not necessarily what He wants for you and your life and your time here on earth, He'll still give it to you. But it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost of leanness to your soul and potentially to the detriment of some other soul that you're to reach, that you're to get after and talk to and share the gospel with. And so we understand this afternoon how serious and important this really is, that as we're living life, it's very easy to live in a first world country such as we do, with so many blessings and so many different things that we can take for granted and become complacent and eat the bread of idleness. I thought of it this way. I was looking around during the first weekend and this place was pretty much full. And I thought, what if everybody in here was called to be a minister of the gospel? And then you start thinking, well, how are we going to get all those messages in? It seemed like it would be too many ministers and not enough whatever, right? But then I started thinking, well, what is that in comparison to the world? All of a sudden, it's nothing. What seems overwhelmingly and large soon becomes nothing because of the magnitude of just how many souls there are that are out there. I think about each of our sphere of influence. You're going to impact people I will never meet. And if you're sitting around waiting for me to show up, Brother Donnie seems like he's got that ability to just talk to a stranger and he knows just the right way to say it. You can think all these things in your mind. Meanwhile, they're never going to cross my path. But they're in yours. Oh, but I don't know what to say. What did Jesus say? Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Fall on your face and beg God. Seek wisdom. Seek knowledge. Seek words from Him. The Lord said, open your mouth and I will fill it. So it is that we understand that there is a desire, there is a work of the Lord that needs to go forward. And it can't be according to our own intellect. Right? If it were according to our own intellect, then we would start to do things like they do out in other organizations and have really no result to speak of. But sometimes in my humanity, I ask questions, and I'm not here to pick on anyone or anything like that. And I know, you know, sometimes it's just parts of the country. But you know, in some parts of the country, we have multiple. You could live somewhere, and within an hour and a half, you can attend 4, 5, 6 churches of God. And yet we got how many states that don't have anything? Is that because all the people in those states don't care about the thing of the Lord and it's just ungodly and just forget the whole thing? Or could it be that maybe the Lord wants to burden somebody, but they're not willing to be in earshot of the Lord to hear it? Well, I would go wherever the Lord asks, wherever the Lord tells me, but I don't ever pray about it. That's how we get out of earshot. I pray for healing, I pray for my job, I pray for the things that I want and all the conveniences that I want to see and my brothers and sisters. But how often do I beg God to show me, to give, not even just show, Lord, don't show me, give me a burden. I'm here to get one. That's an entirely different mindset is, Lord, I'm here, if you need me, just call on me. And it's entirely different that if you're standing there jumping up and down in front of the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to leave until you give me one. It's an entirely different mindset. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, pray ye that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers to get before the Lord as the woman before the unjust judge. As our brother Jacob said, I'll not let go until you give me my blessing. Wrestling with the Lord. This is not just for the ministers. This is for every blood-washed child of God. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's an abundance, and I feast on the Word of God, and I'm blessed by anointed preaching and anointed singing, and I just want to enjoy all that and just get fat spiritually. The Lord has work for you. I dare say if you were to go ask any minister, many of the elders in our congregations, if you were having trouble finding a burden, they probably could think of 6 or 7 without even blinking an eye. This could be done. That needs to be done. That needs to be done. That needs to be done. And it can't be done by just anybody just going out and doing whatever. You see, there's things that transpire when we get down on our face before God. There's things that transpire. He starts to write things on our heart. He starts to prepare us for the work and get us to be equipped and to be appropriate workers in the work that he calls us to. And you'll find that when the Lord gives a burden, it doesn't matter the obstacles that you face. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. And I promise you, if you're doing the work of the Lord, you're going to run into obstacles. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be times where you're physically tired and you don't feel like it. But there's something within you that just causes you to rise up and to continue to go because you know the need of that soul is greater than the need of your own body. This is what it is to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers. Well, when we go forth, it's not enough just to go and do. We got to have the blessing of the Lord upon it. We got to have the equipping of the Lord. There's a scripture in the book of Jude. Turn to that really quick. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. This is part of what is needed when we go out and we do the work of the Lord. And understand that the body, there are multiple places within the body. Not every part does the same function. There are people that are like me, that have thick skin, they're not easily offended. It's almost wonder if they have feelings at all, and yet they don't know a stranger and they're willing to go out and talk to people and they can take rejection. Doesn't faze us at all. We just move on to the next one. That one's not ready yet. We don't get upset. We don't get hurt. We don't get disgusted. We don't think, well, forget it. I tried and it didn't work. And so no. So you understand there are different people that the Lord will call to different positions because there are some that when we go out and we grab them, we bring them in, we're not good babysitters. We got to give them to somebody else that's willing to sit down. I can babysit. I can walk with you and do these different kinds of things. And then there are some people that are a little bit stronger, a little bit more harsh, a little bit more strong on their instruction. Those are not the ones to probably send out first. And God understands all this. It's not for us to sit down and take a personality test and figure out what we're predisposed to and then, okay, you go here and you go there. It's not for us to decide. That's God's business. But I promise you that if we will get on our face before God and start begging Him for a burden and begging Him to cause others to get on their face and seek a burden from God, what you're going to see is a vibrant, functioning body. You're going to see every joint supplieth. You're going to see what we saw in the early church. And I ask this question, do you think you would have fit in the early church? Well, we're all quick to probably think, yeah. Good. You remember reading in Scripture what it was like in the early church? How is it that everybody has a testimony? How is it that everybody has an exhortation? Everybody's got something to say, and he had to tell them, you need to calm down and do things decently in order, and if there's one, then two, maybe three can preach, but that's it. How many, and I'm going to get a little real here. How many times do we get one preacher, and how long has he been? Sometimes it happens. That's a real temptation. But in the early church, they didn't care how long it took. Five of them want to preach, then bring it. If you got it, bring it. I want to hear it. I want to feed on the Word of God. They had a hunger and a desire. They were on fire. I wonder what their testimonies were like. Chances are, if they were falling on their face before God, getting a burden and going out and doing the work, when they came to service to testify, they weren't telling you about something God did 10 years ago. They're telling you what God did yesterday or what their hope is that He's going to do with the soul that they're working with now. And it's not to take away from those old testimonies. They have their place. They have their value. But we need a real ongoing life, ongoing blood being breathed into us. And how does this happen? By getting a burden from the Lord and getting out and doing it. When we read that scripture, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever thought of it in light of this? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Go out there and see if the harvest truly is great. Go out there and see if the Word of God is really more powerful than what's going on in the world. When you do that and you go out into some of these places and you see souls steeped in sin and you begin to get involved in their life and you begin to get a burden and day in and day out, multiple times a day maybe, I'm thinking of them, I'm praying for them, I'm spending time with them, I'm engaged and I'm doing whatever it is the Lord is calling me to do. And I eventually see it has its fruit. And that soul is delivered. You want to talk about a testimony? You come, you can't hardly wait to get the time to testify. Lord, let me tell you what God has done. This is what God wants to do in 2023 with His people. We're not here just to survive and wait till the end. And Lord, we hope you come and we'll just hang on to what we have until we get there. You can live that kind of experience, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to send leanness to your soul. God wants to work in His people. God wants to work through us. We sometimes laughingly joke at home, we're the best kept secret. There's a lot of folks that don't know about us. What are we doing about it? Now, I'm not saying take the effort in your own hands and go do what you... I'm saying go beg God for a burden. Because when God gives... the burden, it's perfect. It'll work. It'll accomplish what He sent it to do, just like His Word. Thank the Lord. But we've got to put ourselves within earshot of the Lord. I think about all the different things that can be done. There is truly much work to be done. I think about how sometimes, in a natural sense, it causes me to giggle a little bit. When people are like, well, I'd do something, but I'm not sure what to do. I'm like, well, I got about 20 ideas. How much time you got? The Lord is forever inundating me. And I'm not here, to pick at anyone, but I wish I were a good singer. I really do. And I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'll claim that. And I'm not complaining. I'll take whatever the Lord gives. But if I were a good singer, I'd find other singers, and we would be out at the parks. Free concert. Come on out. Think about this for a moment. Our songbook, some of the specials we sing, those songs. Can somebody tell me what radio station you'd hear those on? You can't even hardly find them on Spotify or Pandora. How's the world ever going to hear them? Well, what if we decided we're going to do a free concert in the park? And we show up and we sing some songs. I mean, you wouldn't take, 20? Groups of three or four, get up and sing. You could rest your voice and you could go for an hour easily. People can't help. There's a verse that says to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You ever thought about the fact that a serpent has no hands? They don't have opposable thumbs. They don't even have feet. Yet they eat. Why? Because God's given them a wisdom. They know how to use what they have, and they sit and wait, and then there's opportunity. The Lord has blessed us with so many different gifts. I think sometimes folks don't even know what they have on hand. They don't realize what God has blessed us with. This is why it's so important to know our identity in Christ and know who we are and what He's given us, and it causes us to have a confidence to go do the work. I think about the importance of prayer. It's one thing to pray, and it's another thing to have a burden of prayer. And understand there's two ways in which we work. We edify one another, and we reach a lost and dying world. And when we talk about praying and seeking a burden from the Lord, it's in those two veins. And you'll find that as you're working for the Lord, you don't have time to worry about problems. You don't have time to gossip. You don't have time to think about other things that people have said. You don't have time to think about what's wrong, or that brother didn't do that right, or that sister messed up there. I promise you, if you're working for the Lord, you don't have time to think about that. It allows the devil to be pushed aside, and it doesn't give him any place. You know, Scripture says, neither give place to the devil. One way you do that is by working for the Lord, being focused on the task that He's given you. So when it comes to prayer, there can be prayer warriors. And they get under a burden of prayer. I know me personally, every once in a while, I'm not going to name the person, but there's somebody in our fellowship who's older, and you'd think sometimes old people think they can't do anything for the Lord. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. If God can give Caleb the strength and says, I'm as strong this day as I was many years ago, he can still do it today. There's still a work for you to do. There's an older person in our fellowship who periodically sends me a text of encouragement on Sunday morning. He says, I want you to know I'm just praying for you. I know that you're going to be ministering today, and I've just prayed that the Lord has blessed and will be with you today. That's an inspiration. That's an encouragement. That's a burden of prayer that person gets under. And it's been more than one time, because that's how burdens work. You continue to get in there. You continue to do. There are so many different things that can be done. Think about getting a random encouraging phone call. How nice would it be that if it's, I don't know, Thursday afternoon, and you're doing whatever it is you do on a Thursday afternoon, and you get a random call from one of your brethren and says, just want you to know I've been praying for you the last 3 days. The Lord has given me this scripture, and I want to share it with you, and I just want you to know I love you, I appreciate you, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. How does that happen? Somebody's got to get under a burden. Somebody's got to be willing to be within earshot and let the Lord direct them to know what to do and how to do. There's so many different things that can be done. I was thinking about, I wrote this question to myself. It says, do you want to read about amazing things God did in others, or let others read about the amazing things God did through you? And I don't want to take anything away from testimonies that we read. They're inspiring. But you know, God is counting on you to be that inspiring to someone else. He's counting on us to fall on our face before Him, to seek a burden and to do a work of God, that He might receive the glory, that He might receive the due appropriate praise for what it is that He's accomplishing. I think sometimes we've been too blessed and we get too idle. Many years ago, we come to the conclusion, we had a little gathering and talked about the lack of outreach. 20-some years later, and it's still a shortcoming. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I don't believe the Lord is here to beat anybody up. I believe the Lord is here to say, wake up! Get in earshot! Come find me! Get in front of me and don't leave until you get something. And my encouragement to each of us is to get on our face before the Lord. If you don't know what your burden is, to spend time in prayer and stay before the Lord. Do not quit praying about it. Don't let up until the Lord gives you your blessing and gives you your burden. For those of us that have burdens, sometimes we can become overburdened. We need to spend time praying. Lord, raise somebody else. Show somebody to me that you want me to speak into their life, to bring along, to tutelage, to encourage, to help, to show them. This is how the church works. This is what it means when it says every joint supplieth. There are so many different places in where God's people can work. It's too easy to look at limitations. It's too easy to look at what's wrong. I can't communicate my vision to you. I can't give you my burden. It's not yours. It's mine. And I don't want to give it to you. And I don't want to give you the vision the Lord has given me. What I want you to do is to fall on your face before God and let Him give you your vision and let Him give you your burden that you might get out and do those things, that you might be able to work for the Lord. You're going to find that you're spiritually stronger, you're more confident, you're in a better disposition in your mind, your emotions, and all those different things are in a much better place. Why? Because I know I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do. My life has purpose. My life has meaning. And as I live that way, it can't help but radiate out of you. It's in your smile. It just emanates out of your skin, and other people look around and there's something different. What's with that person? And you're going to find people are going to ask. Every once in a while, there'll be a courageous person say, what are you so happy about? How do you enjoy your job? You've heard me said before, and I'll say it again. Your job is not who you are. You're just a gospel worker who's fronting at whatever that job is. And if you don't have that mindset, you need to get that mindset. Otherwise, it'll never be used to the glory of God. In all that we do, we want to honor and glorify the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to know what it is He wants us to be doing. And for that to happen, we need to fall on our face before the Lord. Lord, give me a burden. Write it on my heart. I refuse to let go until you bless me, until you give me an understanding of what it is you want me to do, recognizing that some burdens last for a short period of time and some for a lifetime. Too many times we want to sit around, well, I don't know if I'm quite qualified for this or do I do that? I'll wait. I got to read a little bit more. I don't know. Go seek the Lord. You're going to find that He has a way of getting you ready in a hurry. All He's looking for is someone that's willing. That's it. He's looking for somebody that's willing. And the Lord will work. You see these ministers that come up here, some of them are so polished and refined, and I just think, oh, Lord, I wish I could be like that. But you know, they didn't start out that way. They bumbled around, just like I do. But the Lord continued to work with them. He still used them. He still had a work for them to do. And He still continued to grow them and prosper them all along the way. May the Lord help you to get a hunger and a thirst for the work of God. There are souls that are hanging in the balance. I'll leave you with this last thought as we close. I have a video in my email that I keep. And I look at it from time to time. And it's a famous guy, I think he's maybe a magician or something like that in Las Vegas. It's an act called Penn and Teller. And I don't know which is which. One guy's quiet, the other guy's big and says all the talking. Anyways, it's a video of him in his, I think, dressing room or bedroom, clearly after hours, late at night, after a show. And he's talking about how he's an atheist. And some man showed up to his show and said, I know you're an atheist. I already know what the roadblocks are, but I really believe in the Bible and I want you to have a copy and I think you should have it. So the man went to his show and just for the purpose to tell him that and to give him that Bible. And the man knew that he was an atheist. He knew that he wasn't interested, but he still gave him the Bible. And it affected that man, the magician. And so here he is making this video. And he's talking, he's telling this story and everything else. And he made a comment that I'll never, ever forget. And he said, if you really believe in what the Bible, you know, in what you believe. And for Christians, we believe in an eternity in hell if you're apart from God. And he says, if you really believe that that is true, how bad do you have to hate somebody to not tell them? That's coming from an atheist. May God help us to get a burden.